Let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Interesting verse in verse 25. I think we've covered this before, and I'm going to go back to 21 and read to about 27. Amen. See if we can see how God speaks to you on this church anniversary, on our 40th church anniversary. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 through 27. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain and fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I want to just talk today about the love of God. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God, the power of God. We thank you for a house, a building where we can come and offer up praises unto you and then speak or speak to you and hear from you. Place where we can fellowship together and come in, and folks that love one another can communicate and share and have intimacy. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for the church. Thank you for this church and the people that are full in here. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the word of God that must be preached in your house. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. 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 Interesting verse when I start reading this verse, and I really want to start concentrating on verse number 25, but then when you start looking at verse number 22, 23, and things start opening up even there, because that's how God's word is. Amen. God's word is just an awesome word, and the more you read it, the more you see. But verse 25 says this, and I'm going to try to stay committed. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Boy, what a day that is approaching. My goodness, I mean, sometimes you just don't even want to turn on the TV. Amen. You just don't want to turn on the news. The things that we're seeing now, who would have thought? Uh-huh. And it's just a sign that the day is approaching. Uh-huh. And what is the writer of Hebrews? Many think it's Paul. But what is the writer of Hebrews saying as we see this day approaching? He said we ought to be more committed to the things of God. We ought to be more committed to hearing from God. We ought to be more committed. The church ought to be drawn closer and closer together. And the glue or that substance which brings us together is the word of God. Amen. Folks, when folks get saved, there's a desire for biblical instruction. When in the Bible, when folks got saved, when folks received the power of God, the Spirit of God, there was instantaneously demand for biblical instruction. Pastor, what do you mean? When folks got saved, when folks heard about Jesus, when they heard about the Lord, they wanted more. It just came with it. When they heard about the awesomeness of God and the power of God, they wanted to know more. Let me show you in Scripture. Sometimes it's easier to show. Here's Lydia. And most of us know Lydia. We've read about Lydia in Acts chapter 16. And it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Now, Lydia was a Jewish proselyte. She was a Gentile who was proselytized by the Jews, and she believed in God. She didn't believe in Jesus. She believed in God. She believed in God. And she would have been taught that Jesus had never came. And he's not coming to die on a cross or a Calvary or be buried and rise on the third day. She would have been taught that. So when Paul came and found where they were seeking prayer, the Bible says, she heard us. Paul preached to Lydia. Now, we know what Paul preached. And y'all know, it's like a broken record to me. Paul preached Christ and him crucified. Okay? Paul preached Christ and him crucified. Paul preached the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul preached the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and how he lived sinlessly for 33 and a half years. And how he died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. That's all he preached. He didn't have a smorgasbord of sermons. Paul preached Christ. He preached Christ, and he preached it with intensity. He preached it with urgency. He preached it with desperation, because Paul knew that his days were numbered. He's seen the day approaching. Okay? And the Bible says here, and Lydia heard us. She heard us. She understood what Paul was saying, that she needed a Savior, and his name was Jesus. And if she didn't have the Savior, she would die and go to hell. That's what Paul preached. And the Bible said, Lydia heard us. And whose heart the Lord opened. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So when she heard the word of God that was received in her heart as truth, she believed it, she committed it to it, and God opened her heart. That she attended unto the things that which were spoken to Paul, which means she walked away from something. She got away from Judaism and she accepted Christianity in its purest form. Okay? Now, when she heard all these things, watch what happened now. She was baptized. Verse 15 says, and she was baptized in her whole household, and she besought us. She wanted more. She wanted to hear more about this Jesus. She wanted to hear Paul preach to her more about this Jesus. She besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. She didn't want Paul to leave. She wanted to hear more about this Jesus. She wanted to hear more. She couldn't get enough of this Jesus. Look what it says. And she constrained us. That word constrained me. She grabbed a hold of Paul. She pleaded with desperation. Preach to us. Teach us more. Some historians say that because there was not enough men in Macedonia at this time, that you needed at least 10 men to have a church. And Paul most likely came with an entourage and planted that church in Macedonia. And he suffered because of that. And that's just one illustration of folks when you receive Jesus Christ. You want to know. People say, well, how do I know if I'm saved? Let me tell you something. You're going to want biblical instruction. You're going to want to study the Bible. You're going to turn into a learner. A disciple is a learner. You're going to want to learn about it. Why do folks not want to learn? What happens? What happens to that faithful church? Bible says in the text we looked, it said, not forsaking the assembly of God as such as the matter of some is. What happens? Why do people forsake the church? Think about it. And then one thing comes to mind, peer group pressure. People think peer group pressure starts when you're teenagers. How many know in here as adults, we still suffer peer group pressure? It's hard leaving them boys. It's hard leaving the girls. You know, and it's hard. And people, folks will condemn you. Well, you know, it's only 9 o'clock. It's only 10 o'clock. What you mean you going in? I'm going to church tomorrow. See? It's hard. Peer group pressure never stops. Then you know, the second reason people forsake the church, they don't need it. They don't need it. Don't make sense to them. I'm doing all right. Here's the third one, I thought. A couple things covered, and many of us have experienced this. Don't like the preacher. I don't like the preacher. I ain't come to church. I don't want to hear him. Some folks have problems with other members. Some folks won't come because of other members. Okay? And that could cover a whole lot of stuff. Okay? And you got some members want all the members to be like them. And then other members want all the members to be like me. You got problems. And then there's other areas of the church that people have problems with. But you know what? The Word of God says, we ought not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some. What Paul is saying is that it don't matter what your reason is, you need to be getting yourself to church if you are a child of God. It's just mandatory for some of us. It's just automatic, okay? Some of us, it's just automatic. And if you're not here, it's an alarms go off. Because you've been so automatic. Because it's just in you. It's just in you. It's just in you. What else I'm going to do on Sunday? I've been doing it all my life. Okay? I don't remember a day. It's hard for me to remember a day that I didn't go to church on a Sunday. Somebody said, what do we pay you for? There was a day, y'all remember this verse, and some of the older members remember this verse because it's just been reversed. Psalms 84:10. Somebody said, "Well, I know that psalm." When pastors start reading it, I'm gonna catch on to it. But David is saying this. He said, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Amen. Now we have a generation of folks who rather dwell in the tents of wickedness than be a doorkeeper. And being a doorkeeper, I'd rather take the lowest position in the church than to take the highest position in the world.
Amen.
I don't know. It's not nothing new under the sun. There were 7 churches in Asia, the Bible talks about in Revelations 2 and 3. And many of them struggled. And only 2 of them God commended out of the 7. And we went through the 7 churches and we studied the 7 churches. But one of the great churches of all time, the Church of Ephesus, what did God say about the Church of Ephesus? What had happened to them? They had forsaken its first love. Its first love. Pergamum. How about this one? Pergamum was a church that needed to repent and refused to repent. Thyatira. Well, they had false teachers. And we know Jezebel was one of them. Sardis. Like the Bible calls Sardis a sleeping church. How about that? Sleeping church. Now, I've been here some days and I hear folks calling hogs. But that's not what it means. Okay? A lot of folks in here on different medications and different things like that. And I know I can be long and church can get like that. And once in a while you may doze off. But what he's talking about, sleeping church, is they would sleep on the things of God. They weren't in the church sleep, but they was just sleeping on the scriptures. Okay? Laodicean church is this lukewarm. What causes a church to be lukewarm? Because it's getting pulled both sides. Okay? Like turning on both taps. You got one faucet, you turn on both taps, what you gonna get? You ain't gonna get real hot water, and you ain't gonna get real cold water if you got hot and cold on at the same time. Okay? And I think that's what a lot of churches are. They got hot on and cold on. Why should we love the church? I thought this was interesting. Why should we love the church? What would be the number one answer? Why should we love the church? And I'm talking about the building now. I'm talking about the building. Honestly, people say, well, you know, I don't talk about the building. It's just a building. No, the church is the people. But the church is the place where the people who have the Spirit of God in them meet. Uh-huh. So there's an importance of having a church. We're glad these church doors are open. Amen. Okay? There are folks knocking on church doors all over this country. Doors are shut. Uh-huh. Okay? Listen. Pastor, give me one reason why we ought to love the church. Okay, here's one. Because God loves the church. And when we become people of God, when we become people of God, ought we to love what he loves? Amen. Isn't that interesting? That's something to think about. When we become children of God, we are called to love what God loves. Amen. Okay? Look at this verse in Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How about that? He ties into the one of the greatest of all relationships. The greatest between a husband and a wife. And he ties that in with the church. Okay? He says, love the church. Why? Because I died for it. Because I died for it. God says he died for the church. That's one big reason why we ought to love the church. Because Christ loved the church. In Acts 20 and 28, a great verse, we talk about how he purchased the church. How he purchased the church. How did he purchase the church? With his blood. Amen. With his blood. So when he died on Calvary's cross, not only did he die to forgive us of our sins, but he died for a lot of reasons are tied into him dying on Calvary. That blood covered a lot of things. It was with his blood that he purchased the church. He says, take heed of yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers and feed the church of God. How about that? I'm watching my daughter. Got the little baby. Baby don't want to eat. He's trying to stuff that bottle in the mouth. Baby don't want to eat. I say, crazy, baby don't want to eat. Well, she got to eat. See? And that's almost a picture of Christians. We don't want to eat. But we got to eat. Amen. We got to eat. Amen. And it's almost like we turning our head and stuff that bottle on us. Got to eat. Got to eat. You gotta eat. Listen, try to look at some of these things. I got too many. Sometimes I'll just see which ones are really wonderful. It's a place of worship. How about that? It's a place of worship. I had a verse about 6 months ago that came up about worship. How many know worship is? Worship is tough. People think worship. People, you know, we just, you know, praise and worship music. You watch them and everybody swaying. Worship ain't easy. Okay? Worship is sacrificial. Okay? Worship is costly. Then I ask you a question. How's your worship? How costly is it? I thought about this scripture in Genesis. Here's Abraham taking his son up to the Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. He's going to take his son. God has already told him what he needs to do. He's going to take his only son that he waited 99 years to have, and he's going to sacrifice him. You know what Abraham calls that? Worship. Worship. Taking something that's valuable to you and sacrificing it to God. Saying that God, there's nothing more important in my life than you. About that. That's true worship. There's true worship. Here's Abraham. And Abraham said to the young man, unto his young man, he had an entourage. People were walking with him. He's taking his son to the mountain to sacrifice him. He says to his young man, abide ye here with the donkey. Okay? He's gotten to the place. He's got to go. He's got to go further. He's telling his young man to wait here. Okay? And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. How about that? I thought that was remarkable. How about that? He's telling these folks, stay here. I'm going to worship. And his worship had a spear ready to take out his son. His only son. Born miraculously. Worship is costly. It's costly. Listen, Psalms 5 and 7, it says this, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. That word fear, you know what it means? Reverence. Reverence. You know how you get reverence? Biblical instruction. Praying. Studying God's word, then you get reverence for God's word because you know it's true. You know it's powerful. You know it's needed. And then when you sing with that reverence, when you worship with that reverence, then God hears you. God hears you. And he wants us to worship him with reverence. He wants to worship. He wants our worship with fear. I hear you guys say it all the time. It's a place of preaching and teaching God's word. Why should we love the church? Because the word of God is going to, should be, it must be preached.
Amen.
Okay? It must be preached. And it must be preached in its fullness. And watch, I wish you could turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Just a wonderful text that talks about this because Paul is giving Timothy instructions and he's leaving. He's leaving. He's leaving Timothy in charge and he's giving Timothy the instructions on what should go on in the house of God in his absence. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Now watch this. This is remarkable. It says to Timothy, and Paul knew anytime he went out and preached, he could be put in jail. I mean, when Paul going on a missionary trip, you know, some people say the first place he would visit was a jail. He wanted to know where it was at because he was going to end up in one because that's how it was. And really, that's how it would be today if these preachers would go out and stand on God's word. They'd be locking them up. They'll find a reason to shut them down. But Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Okay? There's a behavior that is commanded of us in the house of God. Okay? Which is the church of the living God. Meaning of those that are members of the church and faithful, filled with the Spirit of God, there's a ministry required of us. Okay? He says, which is the church of the living God, meaning the members have the living God in them. Okay? The pillar and ground of truth. We talk about it. Look at where in the world today. You wonder what's happening. You know, I mean, it is just getting out of hand. But why is it getting out of hand? Because, see, you got godless people. Okay? The word of God says in the end times, in the last days, there will be lawlessness throughout the land. Lawlessness. Folks that have no respect for authority, no respect for nothing. Okay? But that ought not be in the church because Paul's saying in 1 Timothy 3 and 15, he says, and without controversy, verse 16. Now watch this. He's telling Timothy what to preach. He said, it's, don't change, Timothy. You just keep preaching Christ. Watch this now. He said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, which God was manifest in the flesh. Okay? What's meaning manifest in the flesh? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? God was manifest in the flesh. He, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Okay? So teach that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. How was God justified in the Spirit? The Spirit gave God the power in Jesus Christ the power to do miraculous things. It authenticated who he was by the miracles and the healings and the raising of the dead and the opening of the blind eyes. Teaching. Amen. Seeing of angels. The angels ushered in. The angels, that on the day Jesus was born, the angels came and sang Hark the Herald. Angels sing glory to the newborn king. Seeing of angels. When the stone was rolled back, who rolled it back? The angels rolled it back. God was seen of angels. The angels fed the Lord in the wilderness after those 40 days. Preached unto the Gentiles. We know God was preaching to the Gentiles, and Ephesians talking about how we were without God. That's us. We are the Gentiles. We were without God, without hope in the world. That's what I see. When I see the marches and then the protesters, and we just put all our confidence in man and government. And you know what? No faith in God. I don't care what side you're on.
Amen.
It's a mess.
Amen.
Believed in the world. How about that? Believed in the world. Isaiah 53 and 1 says, who has believed our report? Okay. You better, if you say, if you believe the report. Okay? If you're saved, you believe the report. The church. Why should we love the church? It's a place where God's people can gather together. We have come into this place. Gathered in this house, what? To worship you. Listen how David said it. We took sweet counsel together. Psalm 55, 14 said, we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. How about that? Walked into the house of God in company. They used to teach back in the day, you walk hastily to the church and slowly from it. How about that? You make haste to get to the church, but when you get here, you have a hard time leaving because you're among folks that love you. Some days I Evelina be like, come on, Roy. But it is what we do. You come around, you're around folks. You know? You like to talk and we share and talk and you know we put the stuff out on the table so you can slow you down. Let's take a look. I don't want everybody to just run out of the church.
Amen.
You know, some church you go to is like NASCAR. They got the red, the green, the yellow lights, and as soon as the pastor starts his benediction, folks start shutting their Bible and the church will be empty. 5 minutes. Seriously. I've seen it. Like, where everybody going? Game on. Tea time. First in line at go to cry when it was open. Don't want to get there late. David said, we took sweet counsel together. The pleasure of friendship and intimacy of the church. That should be a picture of what we do. It should be an intimate place. Folks should get along. Place where you feel safe. All that goes on. And you know, in this great text here, a lot of folks can't testify. A lot of folks can't be evangelists, and a lot of folks have a hard time. That's why you need to talk to my pastor. You need to talk to, you know, to one of the deacons or talk to somebody that know. You need to know something. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Paul went to this church in Thessalonians, the Thessalonian church, and he taught them some stuff. Okay? A lot of folks went, a lot of times the message of Christ is not being spread because folks don't know enough. They don't know what they need to know. They don't know what they need to say. And I'm not saying you got to be a scholar. I'm not saying you got to be a theologian. I'm not saying that. But you ought to be able to share your testimony because if you save, God has done something. God has done something in your life that folks need to hear. Look, think about all the folks you know. Think about all the folks you know. All of us that are lost, that are without hope, that we know if God called them home today, they die and go to hell. How many folks in our lives are like that? Have no need for the things of God, no respect for the things of God, don't go to church, don't pray, don't praise the Lord, and don't have a Bible. Our lives are filled with people like that. And we don't have nothing to say to them. We can talk sports to them. We can talk hobbies and have hobbies, and we can talk to them about nice restaurants we went to, or a nice concert we went to, or a nice event we went to, or a sale we seen at Mark's or whatever. We can talk about all kind of stuff. But when it comes down to their soul, and their eternal future, what do we got to say? Paul talked to these people about the power of God. Look, Paul, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 6, it says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, and having received the word of God in much afflictions with joy in the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Once they received it, they didn't just hold on to it. They weren't idle. It says this, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You know what that would be equivalent to saying? Boardman, Canfield, Youngstown, Poland, Akron. I mean, the word of God should be all the churches where we see the word of God should be just boom. They had a big gospel explosion down in Atlanta. Gospel explosion. I mean, T.D. Jakes and Creflo. I mean, all the heavy hitters was in town for a week. And you know, you would think millions of people would flow through Atlanta, hotels full with saved folks. And when they left, the only people that was happy was the folks that owned the restaurants and the hotels and the bars and the nightclubs, because there was money. And the city was in the same spiritual condition when they left. You got to be taught in church. And you have to come here. I want to talk. Oh, I got to talk to my son. I got to talk to my daughter. I got to talk to my cousin. I got a brother. I got to talk to my mother. I got to talk to my uncle. I want to have what I have. If you have anything. So we try to get them in Ohio State. And we trying to get them in Akron. We trying to get them in Kent State. We trying to get them in college degrees and all that. Yeah. I'm telling you something. A lot of degrees. You can get a lot of degrees. And, you know, like I said, a lot of degrees out there. A lot of colleges. These colleges is hurting our people. Okay? Not that they don't need an education. I'm not against getting an education with them. When some of our people go to college, they come back messed up.
Amen.
Because they nothing but giant brew houses.
Yeah.
I know parents scared to death their kids go to school. They scare the kids go off to college because they know they're not protected.
Amen.
Don't have nothing to protect them. They getting ready to get indoctrinated for real.
Yep.
Barna research say this: if a child don't know the Lord by the age of 16, there's a chance of him ever or her ever get saved it just gets ridiculously high. And any of us in here, myself included, that have been saved at an older age, miraculous.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Tell you something. You get saved at an older age, that's a miracle.
Amen.
Okay? See, Satan get us all confused. You know, you want the miracles, you know, speaking in tongues and healings and all that. No. The greatest miracle is for someone 25, 30, 35, 40 getting saved.
Amen.
Now you're talking some stuff. Now you're talking about a miracle. Now he's talking about America. Because see, once Satan gets his grips on you, it's only God. Mm. Only God can free you.
Amen.
Okay? Program, 7 steps, 12 steps, 15 steps, 30 steps. Let me tell you something. You need the Lord.
Amen.
You drop down on your knees and say, God, listen, let me tell you something. I done stepped it all the way out. Okay? I need you to free me I won't be free.
Amen.
I'm in darkness, and only your call can call me out.
Amen.
Okay? You know why we all love church? Because we can do that here. We can pray here. We can pray here. And you can call the pastor in here, call somebody in and say, swear, listen, I need you to pray for me. Okay? Listen. The Bible tells a story. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray. Huh. That's what they went to the temple to pray. See, we come to God's house, prayer ought to be part of it. Okay, a big part of what we do here is pray. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Okay? Both of them lost. One thinking he saved, the other one knowing he lost. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I thank God, I got it all together. Okay? I don't even know why I'm here. I just wanted you to know how together I am, God. Okay? I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lying. And if you was fasting twice a week, you shouldn't be telling it to nobody.
Amen.
In the publican standing afar off. And it's just he just know he's sinful. And he has reverence for the house of God. He has reverence for God. And he don't even want to get close to the altar of God. So he stands afar off. Okay? The Bible says he stood afar off. And would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. Heavy. On his knees, bowed down, looking at the ground. But smote his breast. Smote his breast. This is what he says. This is a great prayer. This is a great prayer. People say, what about the sinner's prayer? What about the sinner's? Here's the sinner's prayer. Here it is right here. Here it is right here. The only prayer a sinner can pray. Okay? I hope y'all get that. He's saying this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what a sinner need? Mercy. God, don't give me what I deserve. And listen, God answered, and I tell you this. I tell you, this man, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This man went down to his house justified. Justified.
Amen.
Just as if he had never sinned. Rather than the other. You know what? God's house is a house of prayer. You know what? When preachers and folks that are called of God are called to preach the word of God. Okay? And they take money. And they get money, they get paid, the church is taking care of them. And they fail to preach. And they fail to teach.
Right.
You know what God calls them? Robbers. Robbers. Folks don't know nothing. And it ain't always the folks' fault. See, you go to college and the professor ain't teaching you, you don't understand what the professor say. You're gonna drop that class. Cause you paying them money to teach you and you need this class and you know this guy can't teach. You're gonna drop that class. You probably report him. It's all over the place. Me and this mic. It's a weekly thing. But Jesus in Matthew 20:21 said this. Talk about his house. Now I'm still on the subject why we should love the house of God. Because some people, just a building. I know it's just a building. Don't get me wrong. I know it's just a building. But things happen in this building.
Amen.
Things happen in this building. And Jesus said this. He said, it is written my house shall be called the house of prayer. Pray. It's a house of prayer. Ask Jake to pray this morning. Jake, ready to pray?
Yes,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How we doing? David, the sweet psalmist, they say, is a place of joy. You ought to find joy here. And people say, I'm not talking about happiness, okay? I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about spiritual joy and comfort going on in the inside, not so much what's happening on the outside. Because if your life revolves around what's happening on the outside, then we're going to have problems all the time because things are always happening on the outside. But that internal joy, got to have. David had it, and he found it in church among other folks that loved the house of the Lord, that knew God had done something in their lives. David said, y'all know this one. Psalm 122, 1. He said, I was glad. I was so happy. When they said unto me, who said it? His boys, his buddies, his friends, his family, dad, uncle, cousin, friend. It's time to go to the house of the Lord. I believe they kicked their heels all the way to the church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It ought to be a glad thing to come to God's house. It ought to be a glad thing. We talked about it, we took sweet counsel together. There's a struggle for you this morning. Oh, I can't stand going to church. Oh, I can't stand church. Oh, it's so hot. It's so cold. It's so long. It's so boring. That ought not be. Amen. That ought not be. Amen. Sunday school. I don't know about anybody. I was in Sunday school Wednesday night. We just have a thrill. Mm-hmm. It's just a happy time. Amen. Just to be among God's people. Amen. Sometimes only four or five of us. Sometimes there's been two or three. And we just sit here and light it up. We just tear it up. Amen. Okay? Amen. We do. We just have a good time, and we're in God's house among people of God, and this wonderful thing. My last one. I think. Don't get me spiritualize everything. Y'all know I spiritualize everything. I'm at the gas stations a lot, traveling back and forth to Mass. I'm at the gas stations a lot. I think about the gas stations. I'm like, why do people go to gas stations? Same reason we should go to church. Think about it. Now I'm just going to sit here and mess you up. Because every time you see a Sheetz, every time you see a Speedway, every time you see a BP, every time you see a Shell station, I want you to really think about this. And you see them a lot. Think about what would happen to your car if you didn't stop at a Speedway every once in a while, or Sheetz every once in a while, or BP. Okay? Think about it. What would happen? It would shut down. It would shut down. Why? Because the cars need fuel to run. And the people of God need spiritual fuel to run. And some of us running rough. Some of us, that needle, you know, ain't moving. You get in the car, and sometimes I get in the car, I say, Cindy, it'll move when you get off the hill. Okay. All right. It's going to move in a little while. But it happens. Okay. But we need spiritual fuel in it. Church, you can come in and get filled up. Now, once they go to all these electric cars, you're going to have to keep plugged in just like your phones. And it ain't but a matter of time. Everything going to be electric. In a matter of time, you're going to have to plug it in. And just like your phone, you're not going nowhere. You're not going to Cleveland if your electric on your car say you can only go 30 miles. Amen. Okay? Now, the question is, are we plugged in? How do we get plugged in? How did God talk to Paul? Paul talked to Timothy. Paul told Timothy, y'all familiar with it. Preach the word. Okay? Be instant. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. People need to hear the word of God. Preach. They need to hear the, somebody say Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth. How about that? Okay? Preach. Preach that he was born of a virgin. Preach that he was sinless. Preach that he was nailed to a cross between two criminals. Preach that that one he took the place of represents us. Preach that he was nailed to that cross. Preach the Red Sea was parted. Preach the story of the prodigal son. I love the story of the prodigal son. Preach the parables. Preach Lazarus and the rich man. How about that? Preach it. Preach it. Why? Because people need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
They need to hear the word of God. I hear Jake say, preach it in a way that the little babies can hear. Absolutely. You know why I know that? Because God's word will not return void. God's word is being heard. Going into them, they're being trained to come to church. They're being trained that it's a struggle. It's a struggle sometimes getting these babies dressed and off to church. But you know what? As they get older and older and older, it's something that's in them. It's just in them. It's just in them. And you know what? Our kids are growing up, and once they leave our house, they're not coming to church no more. They're not coming to church no more. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. They don't want to come. Think about it. I wrote some stuff down. Close. We look around our church family. You know the church family in heaven. Okay? We all got our list. You know, I've shared my list with you guys all the time. This is not my list. But you think about Moses, Elijah, and Sarah, and Ruth, and Mary, and Joseph, and John the Baptist. You got Paul, Peter, and all the folks in heaven. You know what? You know what our church represents? That. It represents that. Because among us in here, now the names may have been changed to protect the innocent, but you look around. You look around the church, and we've spent all these years together. We spent all these times together in Sunday school and Bible study, all these little functions. Listen, we want to have a great reunion in heaven. See Dave, and see Blanche, and see Kenny, and see Miss Mother Wallace, and
amen.
You want to see them.
Amen.
And that's a lot of time what all this represents. We want to see our loved ones. We want to see people we have shared and walked together into the house of God together. We done labored together. We done struggled together. We done cried together. And we get to heaven. See all our folks. See all our folks.
Amen.
That's right. See Deacon Nim grunting and grumbling.
Uh-huh.
See some folks. Okay? And then down here, you know, you think about heaven. You think about why we do this. Because there's going to be a time where we ain't going to do it no more. And when we get to heaven, there's no more tears. No more crying and no more pain, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more heart attacks and strokes. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. No more funeral processions, no more emergency rooms, needles, and all that. All that. All that. So maybe I talk about the eclipse. Coming. Oh, you gotta watch the eclipse. Listen. I'm getting ready for heaven. There ain't gonna be no eclipse. Because there ain't gonna be no darkness. There ain't gonna be no sun, no moon. There ain't gonna be no more night, day.
Amen.
The glory of God will just radiate everything. I ain't worried about no eclipse.
Amen.
Care less. I'm looking for a day where there ain't gonna be no more night and day.
Amen.
No more. No more. That's why we all love the church, because the church is designed to prepare us for glory.
Amen.
It's designed to prepare us for that glorious day. How about that? How about that? I have this day coming. God's called me to prepare you guys. Talk to you. Talk to them about the word of God. Somebody need to hear it today. I don't know who need to hear today, but somebody need to hear today. Somebody need to hear the word of God today. Let's pray. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. You heard our petitions. You heard our prayers. You